What are our kids' roles in family devotions? Well, we let them participate in regular family devotions, and we try to engage them in the process. We don't just want them to be passive recipients. We don't just want them to listen. We want them to participate in the process. Our kids love to read Bible verses, for example. And sometimes I pray for them, and sometimes Michelle prays, and sometimes we pray sentence prayers in a circle. But we try to have a mixture of us praying for them and with them, and them leading from time to time in prayer. Whatever material you choose to use for family devotions, let me reassure you, you don't have to have PhDs in theology to lead family worship. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to speak about various theories of the end times. Just open the Bible and read it to them and discuss God's word in little bite-sized chunks. And dads, let me encourage you, you can do this. You can lead. You were actually made for this purpose. And it may feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, but it is not brain surgery. Just open your Bible with your children, with your family, and tell your children about God. And I think it's important that you also tell them your story. Tell them about your walk with the Lord. Tell them about your ups and downs. Tell them about how the Lord has changed you over the years. Let them see that you are a student of the Bible just like they are. Just be transparent and learn with them. Let me reassure you, you probably know more than you think, and you probably know more than your kids do about the Bible. But if not, that's perfectly okay too. Just enjoy learning with them. It's a really fun process. Now, how do you teach prayer? Well, I think we teach prayer the same way that we learn that children learn to talk and walk. We model these things for them, and then they imitate us. So I want to encourage you to model prayer for your kids. Again, we try to balance between modeling prayer and actually asking them to pray. Children learn by doing, of course, the same way any of us learn a new skill, kind of like we do in children's sermons at church. The pastor may say a brief phrase and then have the children repeat. We can do this with our children at home. Just say three or four words and have them repeat. This is the way I learned to pray as a child. And I'm sure you know that not everyone is comfortable praying in crowds, but the ones who are, generally speaking, tend to be those who were taught to pray as children. It doesn't happen naturally. They've been taught how to do it by their parents. And so teach your children how to pray by praying and have them imitating you. We also try to teach our kids the importance of everyday prayer. Teach our kids that prayer isn't just something formal that we do a couple times a week at church. And it's not just something that dad puts on his preacher voice to do from the pulpit. It's a running conversation with God about all kinds of things. If we lose a book or a shoe around the house, stop and pray about it and then go look for it. I can't tell you how many times that prayer has been answered in amazing ways. One time, Mary Drew lost her bike, and we ended up realizing that it had been stolen. And we prayed about it, and we saw the Lord answer that prayer in a way that we could not have imagined. Someone actually gave her a new bike. If we have a sore throat, if we have mundane problems about school, about sports, about whatever, God is the God of the big and the cosmic and the epic. And God is also the God of the small and the intimate and the everyday and the mundane. And we can reinforce these truths by prayer as we pray about the whole gamut of human experience. There's nothing unimportant to God. If it's important to us, it's important to Him. So we try to teach them by example to pray all the time, to pray about everything, to pray without ceasing, to keep a running conversation with God. Another thing that we try to do for our children is to model repentance. When we screw up in the course of family life, which is quite often, we try to say so, and we try to ask for their forgiveness. Now, Michelle is much better at this than I am, but we try to model repentance and confession for our children. We find that they're usually quick to forgive. They like it that mom and dad are imperfect just like they are, that we are works in progress, that we don't necessarily have it all together. And they're learning, I pray, that the Christian life is not about having it all together all the time. but it's much more of a lifestyle of repentance. It's a matter of continually falling short of God's standards and a continually turning away from our sin to the cross and receiving God's mercy through Christ and receiving God's grace and moving on from there in God's grace. Just a word of warning as we go about family devotions, and that is kids ask great theological questions. And if you don't know the answer, it's perfectly fine just to say so. You can look up the answer together, and I want to recommend a resource for you in that regard. Now That's a Great Question is a book by R.C. Sproul that is specifically designed to cover the gamut of questions that people ask, both children and grown-ups, and it covers that gamut pretty well. So Now That's a Great Question by R.C. Sproul. It's a great resource for that. We also try to incorporate music within our family devotion time, so you can sing a song or a hymn or a psalm. Now, I am no Dan Cole, but I do try to make a joyful noise. Now, Michelle actually does sing very well, so we try to sing a song or a hymn with our children. We also have several CDs of psalms and hymns that we regularly play around the house, and we want our kids to know these songs by heart. We want them to learn the scripture verses contained therein so that they will enjoy singing them in church. And one of the best ways, I believe, to teach theology and scripture memorization is through music. It has a particular power to imprint these great truths on our hearts and on our minds for life. So use music. Another great thing to remember is the importance of husbands and wives praying together. And let the kids see this. This lays a great foundation for family life. And statistics show that 90% of couples who do this and have family devotions and pray together as a couple and as a family keep their marriages and families together through tough times. So I can't emphasize the importance of that enough. Now, in addition to table discussions at home after dinner, our Toyota minivan is also a great setting for family talks on the way home from church. We ask them questions like, what did you remember from Sunday school? What did you remember from youth group, from the children's message, from Dr. Thomas's or Dr. Fleur's sermons? And we try to engage them, and while it's still fresh in their minds, what did these scripture passages mean to you? Also, we try to give incentives for memorizing scripture, what we call fighter verses, very similar to the courage challenge verses that our children's department at church have challenged us to memorize. Scripture memorization is a great thing, so we encourage them to memorize verses and then to recite those to us. And we give incentives in the form of M&Ms and Skittles, different candies that we have on hand. A little external motivation never hurts. We also are trying to catechize our children. We've used the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and also we've gone through the Children's Catechism several times. And a great resource for teaching this is the book that I mentioned earlier, Big Truths for Little Kids by Susan Hunt and Richie Hunt, what we call in our house Cassie and Caleb stories. Cassie and Caleb are two characters in that book. They're two kids who have all kinds of kid adventures and misadventures. And what they do is they apply the catechism lessons to their young lives in a way that kids can grab a hold of and understand and apply easily. So I commend that book to you wholeheartedly as you try to catechize your kids. And just so you know, we are not models in this process. We certainly don't do it perfectly. We make tons of mistakes, and we're not asking you to do it the way we do it. We just want you to do it, which is really irrelevant, I suppose. The real reason that we should do it is because God says that that is the way He normally makes Christians, not by door-to-door evangelism, as important as that is, not by sending your kids to Young Life, as helpful as that may be. But the primary way that God makes young Christians is by one generation declaring the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord to the next generation. In other words, by parents doing Deuteronomy 6. And as important as it was for the Old Testament Israelites to proclaim to their kids the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, the miraculous ways that He had freed them from slavery in Egypt, how much more reason do we have as New Covenant believers to tell our kids about the way Jesus Christ has led us out of Exodus and out of slavery to Satan and to sin and to death and to hell. And so tell your kids about these things. Tell your kids what Jesus has done for you, and these things will stick. Islam is said to be the fastest growing religion in the world. And one reason for that is that Muslims are outpacing Christians in not only having children, but raising little Muslims. Now, Muslims have no real conversion experience, as I understand it. They're simply born a Muslim if they have Muslim parents. Christians are different. We don't give birth to baby Christians, but to little sinners who are also, nonetheless, covenant children. They're meant to be brought up with the best possible blessing a child can have, being raised in the covenant community of faith, enjoying God's outward blessings, and trained to put their faith in the triune living God from their very earliest age. So are we raising little Christians? The best way you can ensure that you are doing that is to do regular family devotions. And if you struggle with consistency, join the club, and please don't get discouraged about that. We are all busier than we should be, probably. Don't quit just because you haven't lived up to your own expectations or just because you've fallen short of your goals. Doing this some is better than doing it none. It's kind of like exercise. It's hard to find time to do. It's easy to get out of the habit, but that doesn't mean it's a bad idea. And it doesn't have to be super long either. 12 to 15 minutes consistently day by day goes a long way. That very consistency itself communicates a message to your children, and that is that this is important to mom and dad. It is the most important thing to mom and dad, and maybe it should be important to me as well. And keep in mind as you go along that this is a long-term discipleship program. Don't look for overnight fruit of this, and don't be discouraged when fruit doesn't appear overnight. Take the long view. Take the incremental approach. Build each day, verse upon verse, story upon story, precept upon precept, concept building upon concept, and you'll find in a few years your kids are beginning to develop a sturdy foundation upon which they can build a fully realized Christian worldview. As you go about that, may the Lord bless you in this endeavor of doing family devotions. May it draw you closer together as a family, and may it endear you more and more to each other as you come to know the Lord in a deeper way in your family life. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for listening.